Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from various scriptures in the Bible. Please follow along with the scriptures on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Then he, meaning Jesus, said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, when I was in eighth grade, my dad allowed my best friend and I to be able to go and see a live Red Sox game with no adult supervision. I was so excited because I was never able to do something like this before. And I remember standing with my friend at the ticket counter, buying the tickets before the season started. We bought two bleacher seat tickets for $7 each, where the Red Sox were going to play the Toronto Blue Jays. But the game wasn't going to be until the end of the season. But we're okay with that. Well, what happened was towards the end of the baseball season, the Red Sox were fighting for a playoff spot, and it had gone to the point where the game that my friend and I had tickets to was the game that would determine if the Red Sox were going to be in the playoffs or not. It was all over the news about how important this game was. And normal middle schoolers would be excited to go to this awaited game, but my friend and I, well, we were greedy middle schoolers, and we saw this as an opportunity to make money with our tickets. So instead of going to the game, we started to discuss selling our tickets and what we would do with all the money that we would get for these two tickets. We figured that we could always just watch the game on TV, but the trade-off for all the money we could get, well, we could buy anything we wanted at the mall, you know, clothes, shoes, food. Mind you that scalping tickets is illegal in Massachusetts, but we wanted money and lots of it. And I remember walking with my friend to Fenway Park as we excitedly schemed on how to sell the tickets. We agreed that we would sell them for $70 each and only sell them to families and not to single people because we knew scalping was illegal and didn't want to risk getting into trouble from someone who was undercover. And when you walk around Fenway Park, there are people yelling to buy tickets because people wanted to go for this big and important game. Well, we found a place to stand, which was right outside a bowling alley. And my friend had the tickets while I was standing directly behind him. Then we started to look at the sea of people walking by us, trying to identify who would be our valued customer. All of a sudden, a family consisting of a mom, dad, and their two daughters crossed my friend's path openly yelling to buy tickets. My friend called the family over and talked with the dad saying that he had two tickets. Well, the dad said, "How much?" And my friend said, $150 for each ticket. And I'm like standing behind him and I'm thinking, wow, that's great. We can buy even more with $150 each. The dad looked at his wife and she sadly nodded okay to the deal. And when the dad reluctantly took out his wallet to pay for the tickets, when he opened it, all we saw was a police badge. He confiscated the two tickets from my friend. He gave it to his two daughters to go and enjoy the game and arrested my friend. And all I saw was the policeman escorting my friend to the police car down the street. My friend didn't mention one thing about me being right behind him. And the reason why I tell you this story is because money can make us do some pretty dumb things. We can do dumb things when we have it or because we want more of it. In fact, we see all over the news or even personal stories of people who will do whatever it takes to get more money. People work insane hours at the expense of their health, family, and relationships. People will even lie to get more money. They will gamble, cheat, or steal. People have betrayed each other and their countries for financial gain. And there are even albums and movies about people trying to get rich or die trying. Even in scripture, we see people involved in deceit and lies in order to satisfy their greed and get more money. When the walls of Jericho fell, a soldier named Achan stole goods from the enemy that God specifically said not to take, thinking that he could get away with it, resulting in him and his entire family dying. And don't forget Judas, who sold his soul and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, who later couldn't handle the guilt of what he did, and he hung himself. That is why scripture says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." See, money isn't evil. However, it is the love of money that's evil and makes us do evil things. That is why someone who has money can buy sex, drugs, and contribute to trafficking and terrorism. You can use money for comforts that only benefit you, or you can use money to bribe others, to cheat, to murder, and to cover it all up. So money is not evil, but the people using money for such means are evil. That is why, on the flip side, if a person uses money to help someone in need or uses it for something honorable, it's not the money that's good, but it is the person who is good because of what they're doing with the money. See, money is neutral, but it is the people behind the use of the money that determine whether money is used for good or used for evil. You know, we're in a new sermon series called Money Matters, because how we use our money matters. And Jesus wants us to know that money can either bring joy or strife, freedom or bondage, generosity or scarcity. In fact, Jesus spoke a lot about money, not because he cared about money, but because he cares about us, because he knew money's tendency to replace him as God of our lives. That's why Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Jesus is saying, use money, but don't serve it. Meaning, don't let it be your master or God, because it is impossible to serve two masters. However, people will argue that it's perfectly possible to serve both God and money at the same time. And this is what it looks like in their lives when they try to do that. They either serve God on Sundays and then their money on the rest of the weekdays, or they serve God with their lips but serve money with their hearts, or they serve God for all to see but they serve money in reality, or they serve God with half of their being and serve money with the other half. Whichever way you want to mix and match, we can see that there is a conflict when we try to serve two masters. And Jesus was saying that whenever we split our allegiance between trying to serve God and something else like money, the reality is that our allegiance has already been given over to money, since God can only be served with exclusive devotion. Because whenever we love and worship money, the trade-off every single time is that we end up forsaking God. That is why materialism is where money or things become central in our life instead of God. And the telltale sign of who we are serving is this: if you're willing to sacrifice for the sake of money, but will not sacrifice for the sake of Jesus, then the reality is that money is your God. If you're willing to work long hours at your job to gain more money, but not willing to spend time cultivating a relationship with God, or you're not willing to go to church to worship God in community, then the reality is that money is your God. If you think about money and what you want to do with money more than you think about God and what you want to do for God, with your money, then money is your God. If the money that you have supports all your priorities and you're not thinking about using any of it to support any of God's priorities, then money is your God. If you worry about money, then money has become your God. See, God created us to love Him and love others and to use the things that we have to love Him and to love others. But materialists love things and end up using God and people to get more things. And we learned last week that God is the owner of all things, and we are simply His stewards. We talked about how a steward is someone that an owner entrusts with the management of their possessions, meaning we are a steward of all that God has given to us. Don't believe that we don't actually own anything? When you die, you don't take what's in your bank account, or you don't take your car or even your nice clothes with you. It all goes to someone else to be managed. And our takeaway from last week was that we are all managers and not owners. But we won't be able to understand stewardship until we first understand ownership. And it is first understanding that God is actually the one who owns, and we are the ones who do not own. Because it is when you have that perspective, then only will money be in its rightful place in our lives. But if you walk around thinking that you are the owner, then the reality is that money has already owned you, which means that money is your God and you have fallen into the trap of materialism. That's why Jesus warned, saying, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." See, greed brings out two reactions in us. It makes us possessive, where we become selfish and hold on to tightly what we have and are not willing to share it. And it also makes us envious, as we are now thinking of all the things that we are yet to have. And so instead of putting our hope in God, we end up putting it in our money, in our house, in our IRA, in our phones, in our cars, in our vacations. And Jesus knew how easy it was for us to love money, and He knew that it can even get to the point where money could master us, corrupt us, and strangle our souls. Because if we don't put money in its rightful place, whereby it is our servant and not our master, then those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. See, here Paul, a follower of Jesus, is talking about our desire to always want to be rich and to always want more than what is needed. This desire for more money and even more possessions can come at the expense of our morals, our families, our friends, our relationships, our health, and our personal well-being. I just want to be clear that trying to get rich by working hard or investing are not bad things, as long as your motives are right. Because like Paul says, we can all easily cross a fine line where we fall into the temptation for more money, which leads to our destruction. Instead of finding fulfillment and identity in God, we end up looking for fulfillment and identity in our stuff. Paul continues saying, "Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." See, many people would do many things to get more money. Sometimes it can be doing illegal things, but many times it can even be doing things that seem noble to the world, like providing for your family or leaving them with a material inheritance. And no one can argue that these are not great things to do. But the unfortunate thing is that for many people, providing financially for our kids or family becomes our God. We can get so focused and fixated on this financial priority and building a financial legacy, But we end up neglecting seeking God and even teaching our children and family to know how to seek God, whereby we can leave them with a spiritual legacy which actually lasts forever and guides them during this time on earth. How many of you know of people who are materially rich, but yet spiritually poor? That is the whole point. It is a slippery slope, because if your priorities are in the wrong place, then your life can become dedicated to the wrong things. A father dying on his deathbed can say, hey, look at all the money and possessions I have left for you, which is great. But if that man and his family don't know God or are not following God, then the reality is that that man was following the wrong priorities and was setting the tone for his family as to who the real God of their family is. That is why today we're going to talk about the five dangers of materialism that affect even people who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus. Remember, materialism is where money or things become central in our life instead of God. So the first danger is that materialism can cause us to forget God and destroy our spiritual lives. When we trust in money instead of trusting in God, money can end up blinding us to our spiritual poverty. And the reason why is because on the outside, we look like we're okay and put together because we have stuff. But on the inside, we are far from God and things may actually be crumbling. There was one time I met with a friend that I had not seen in a while. He had all the riches that he wanted, the house, the car, the nice clothes, the electronics, all that money can buy. But underneath it all, he shared that he was not doing well personally. He was crumbling under the weight of it all. His marriage and family were crumbling, and God wasn't in the picture of his life anymore. His pursuit of career and status caused him to neglect God as his spiritual life deteriorated. And so when he got more money, he just trusted in that to save him and console him instead of God. Money had become his master, and as a result, his attention gradually turned away from God. The one thing he was pursuing all his life couldn't even save him from his problems and predicaments in the end. And as long as money takes the place of God in our lives, it will also weaken our ability to fight any sort of temptation that we face. Because whatever our desire is, well, we just pay for it so that we can get it. In fact, people can even think that as long as they have money, they will gain favor with God and even salvation. 2, materialism can bring us unhappiness and more anxiety. When money is our God, we live where we store treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven. Not only because of greed, but also because of fear and insecurity. When our life is all about accumulating stuff, we will never be happy with the existing stuff that we currently have, and we'll always be looking for more stuff. That is why in a country like America, where people are materially rich, people still suffer from discontentment, sadness, loneliness, and loss of worry. Because when we trust in our money and our possessions, it just leaves us empty and with more anxiety. And with more stuff, we tend to worry more. How many of you have gotten a house and now frequently worry about the house? Or a car and frequently worry about scratches on the car? I knew a husband who cared so much for his brand new car that he wouldn't let his wife drive it because it was his prized possessions. And so he didn't trust her to take care of it like he had wanted. I've seen people even get into fights because someone accidentally stepped on their nice new sneakers. When we invest in the markets or in cryptocurrencies, our hopes and our anxieties rise and fall with the market. And again, those material things like a house and a car or clothes, they're not bad in themselves. But when they become our priority and our God, that is when things go wrong. Our reaction to the stuff that we have really just reveals who we really think the real owner is. The third thing is that materialism causes us to be self-sufficient and even prideful. In the Old Testament, before the Israelites stepped into the promised land that God wanted to give them, God warned the people saying, "When I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their ancestors, and when they eat, they'll fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant." Meaning the people would forget their provider and worship the things that were provided instead. The people would receive their fill, become proud, self-sufficient, and forget God. And isn't that what happens for many of us? God blesses us and we forget him, and think it was because of us and our efforts that we gained the blessings or the things and opportunities that we have. We end up becoming proud and titled and thankless as we trust what we now have to provide for us in the future. We can even pridefully look down on others who are not as successful or who don't have what we have. The fourth thing is that materialism promotes injustice and exploitation. If money is in the wrong place in our lives, then the more we have, the greater opportunity we have to do wrong with what we have. All over the world, we see people use money to benefit themselves at the expense of other people. We see this in trafficking, today's version of modern-day slavery, as well as with alcohol, tobacco, drugs, pornography, strip clubs, prostitution, gambling, tabloids, and even abortion clinics. All of these have their ways to exploit people for financial gain. And many of our financial decisions contribute knowingly or unknowingly to such institutions. And the fifth one is that materialism ends in emptiness. Solomon, the third king of Israel and the richest man in the world during Old Testament times, admitted that with having everything a man could dream of, with pleasure, riches, and properties, ended up coming to the end of his life with this final conclusion. He said, "I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my efforts and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Solomon was saying that materialism ends in emptiness, but seeking God does not. And we can all identify with Solomon, can't we? We all have had days where we cleaned out our closets or even our basements or attics and ended up throwing away stuff that we spent money on that we don't even use anymore. Or we donate clothes, electronics, and even other items that we spent large amounts of money on that we don't even use anymore. In fact, all the toil that we had getting such things was now meaningless. And when that has happened to me, I wish I could get all that money back that I spent on useless things and instead use that money to leverage it for purposes that are more meaningful. The reality is that I can't, but I can use what I have now in order to do that. And if you want to teach your kids the emptiness of materialism, make a family trip to your local trash dump. Show them all the piles of earthly treasures people spent years and years and time accumulating and money spent, as now they're all discarded in this dump. Birthday and Christmas presents, thousands and thousands of dollars on stuff that doesn't matter anymore. See, in order to fight against materialism and have a healthy view and handling of money, we first need to realize just how big of a problem materialism can be for us as individuals. And being a follower of Jesus does not make us immune to materialism. But because we know Jesus, we can put money in its rightful place in our lives. Remember, materialism is where money or things become central in our life instead of God. And how much stuff we accumulate, how much money we are pursuing, how much time we spend to get more stuff and all the things that we want are all things that simply reveal who the real master of our lives really is. So in order to evaluate how much of a grip materialism has on you, I'm going to encourage you to reflect on these four questions throughout your week and even throughout your life. If you're married, reflect on these questions together with your spouse. And if you're a parent, reflect on these questions with your kids now so that they can learn to have a healthy view of money and possessions now. The first, how often do you find yourself worrying about money and the stuff that you have? Two, are you willing to sacrifice for the sake of money, but not sacrifice for the sake of Jesus? Three, whom have you influenced spiritually and for eternity with what you have? Four, what has your handling of money and possessions accomplished for eternity? So how do we get out of this trap of materialism whereby money and things are not central in our lives, but God is? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to discover the solution for materialism and putting God as the master and Lord of our lives instead of money. So I encourage you to come back and join us, because when we can understand the dangers of materialism, we are able to be free to experience the joy of stewardship. Remember, God is the owner and we are just his managers. So we are either using the money entrusted to us in order to worship ourselves or using the money to worship God. Because if money is the center of our lives, we will waste the money and the possessions that we have and even waste our lives with the wrong purposes that end up in a dump or are meaningless. But if God is the center of our lives and money is our servant, we will leverage what we have on earth for eternal purposes and live out God's purposes for us here and forever. And every day we get to decide what we do with what we have. Let me pray for us. God, help us to be mindful of how we're using what you've given to us. And so we choose to have you at the center of our lives and to be the one that influences how we use what has been given to us as we use it to honor you and to serve your purposes. God, we want our lives to matter, so we ask that you help us to live within our means so that we can leverage the rest of what we have for your purposes and towards changing lives now and for eternity. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience His love and mercy. You want to experience His hope and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much and that He came to earth as Jesus over 2,000 years ago in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so you can have a real relationship with Him now and for all of eternity. Jesus lived the perfect life, and then He chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in Him. And not only did He die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that He wasn't just a man, but He's the God who saves. And if that is what you want, now I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you are meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help to transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're a part of His family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.